Luke chapter number 15. The book of Luke chapter 15. We'll go back there and look for a couple of things that we left out this morning. Luke chapter 15. It was a good crowd this morning. Had a lot of visitors here with us. And we thank the Lord for that. Luke chapter 15. And we're going to look at something here. I want to look, we've dealt, I guess, with the shepherd and the sheep this morning. We talked about Luke 14 being earth's madness, and then Luke 16, hell's sadness. And right in the middle, chapter 15, is heaven's gladness. And in the midst of heaven's gladness, you've got a parable that consists of three different areas. You've got the son looking for the sheep. You've got the spirit looking for the lost coin. Or the lost silver, and then you got the father at the house waiting to receive the lost son. And those picture and type, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we dealt with how they represent the sinner, whether they be lost in the distance, whether they be lost in the dirt, whether they be lost in disgrace. It doesn't make any difference. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we dealt extensively with the shepherd and the sheep. But let's look at verse number 8. Let's look at verse number 8. And I don't know if I'll get all, you know, I don't, we'll just see what the Lord does. This may be so confusing that you won't know which way is up. And we'll just depend on the Lord to straighten it all out. But in Luke 15, verse number 8, to the second part of this parable, either what a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One thing I do want to draw your attention to, I didn't say anything about it this morning, but a lot of times, this is just an oversight of not reading the Bible just like it is. Sometimes we say, well, when a sinner gets saved, the angels start rejoicing. But the Bible says they're rejoicing in the presence of the angels. The angels are not rejoicing. They don't know what to rejoice about. They've never been saved. Jesus didn't die for them. They don't know how to rejoice over somebody getting saved. You say, well, who's up there in the presence of God and in the presence of the angels? Well, all of your loved ones that are already gone up there. And so when somebody gets saved down here, they start rejoicing because they remember when it happened to them. And they start rejoicing in the presence of the angels. And I've often wondered what the angels say. Hey, what are y'all shouting about? What happened? Well, I mean, somebody got saved. What's that? What does that mean? You don't understand. The Lord didn't come to redeem and save the angels. They're up there singing about the power of God, the omniscience of God, the attributes of God, and the creation of God. That's what they do. But when it comes to redemption, there's a song they don't know anything about. And so here in Luke 15 and verse number 8, we find this lady. This woman is a picture of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is seeking, trying to find a lost coin that is lost in the dirt. So this lady, this woman that represents the Holy Spirit, she begins to light or show a light and start sweeping and looking behind the chairs and looking behind the sofa and looking under the coffee table. And we've done that before. We've started looking and you look in the couch, I promise you, or in the love seat or in the recliner, and you'll find a dollar and a half worth of quarters, dimes, and nickels. And so this lady has lost something, and the Holy Spirit is looking and seeking something that's lost in the dirt. This silver. This silver is a piece of currency. On a currency, let's see what I got. in, I think I might have a quarter or something. I've got a quarter right here. On this piece of... they don't make these out of much anymore. It used to be silver. Now it's not worth as much as it used to. It's a quarter. And on the front of that quarter is an image. And this image is only good in this country. If I was to take this quarter with this image of George Washington up to Canada, they would look at that quarter and say, we can't accept that up here. It's not the right image. So when this lady lost a silver, in the book of Genesis, there was an image stamped on Adam when he was created. And sin, when he sinned, that image was lost. I meant it for it to go under the chair. Now it's in the dirt. The image has been lost, and it has no value whatsoever until it is found. You cannot take something and take a peso. They won't receive that over here. It don't have the right image stamped on it. And you cannot go to heaven without the right image stamped on you. The image was lost, and everybody that was born after Adam was born with Adam's image stamped on him, and it's the wrong image if you're planning on going to heaven. But my friend, that image was lost. It was in the dirt. It was in the dust. And this woman takes the Bible, the light. The Bible is the lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And it'll hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. And it'll take the broom of the sweet Holy Spirit and start to sweep and look and find. And then all of a sudden she says, oh, here it is. I have found. Rejoice with me. She calls the neighbors and she calls everybody else. And she says, rejoice with me because I've lost and I have found the silver that I've lost. My friend, that is a perfect picture of how the Holy Spirit came to seek and to save a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you want an Old Testament picture, take your Bible for a few minutes. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter 24. And let me see if I can paint this picture for you. Genesis 24. The silver. Darkness surrounded it. Dirt had stained it. You know, there's a lot of people that looked at me before I got saved and said, he won't never amount to nothing. And maybe I have, maybe I haven't. But I can tell you this, that when Jesus finds a piece of silver in the dirt, it becomes very valuable to the Lord. Because the Lord can take an oyster and make a pearl. And we've heard it said, a diamond in the rough. Well, I can tell you, before you got saved, you were pretty rough. But after the Lord begins to work and begins to work on you, hey, He can make something very valuable out of you. Now, while you're finding Genesis chapter 24, this is a little different than a Sunday morning. I can't do this kind of stuff on Sunday morning. But in Genesis chapter 24, while you're finding that and looking at it, we won't read all 67 verses of it. Probably one of the longest chapters in the Bible other than the flood. Well, other than Psalm 19. But it's a story pattern that's about one of the longest in the Bible. Jesus Christ comes to this earth to die for the sins of the whole world. Everybody with me? After He dies for the sins of the whole world, the nation of Israel was set aside. Before the cross, everything. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was Israel, Israel, Israel. Jews, Israel, Jews, Israel, Jews, 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 Israel. Jesus Christ, the Jews said, we don't have a king but Caesar. Crucify Jesus and give us Barabbas. So what God does is says, okay, Israel, if you feel like that, then you go over there and stand in the corner. I'm done with you for a while. After the cross, he brings the church in on the thing. Follow me? Now, one of these days, we're waiting for the Lord to come and rapture the church out of here. And guess what? After the church is raptured up out of here, Israel comes out of the corner, and God says, all right, let me see if we can work with y'all a little bit more in the tribulation period. Look at Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Anybody know what happens in Genesis 22? Abraham, God tells Abraham, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, offer him Mount Moriah. Right story? Genesis 22. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of Jesus dying on the cross in Genesis 22. Well, remember what I told you. Jews crucified him. Israel is set aside. Look at chapter 23. Verse 1. Sarah, that's Abraham's wife, was 7 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in that town. See that? Jesus dies in 22. Sarah, a picture of Israel, dies. You go over and stand in the corner. I'm done with you for now. Chapter 24. Abraham calls Eleazar, his servant. Picture of the Holy Spirit. Abraham, picture of God. You have to stay with me tonight. You have to really stay with me tonight. You can't nod off tonight. God the Father, Abraham, says, God the Holy Spirit, Eleazar, I need you to go down there and pick a wife for my son Isaac. Isn't it odd? That happens right after Sarah, nation of Israel, dies. And Abraham says, okay, I've lost my wife, Israel. Go down there and get a bride for my son. So, Eleazar, he goes off. And Abraham tells him, you have to read the story, but Abraham says, do not go get a wife that's of the nation of Israel. Go get a Gentile bride.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Go search out a lost piece of silver in the dirt.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Some of y'all about to get it. And so Eleazar, he goes down, and Eleazar says, well, how am I going to know? How am I going to know if it's really her, if that's the one that needs to be for your son Isaac? And he says, well, find out if she's any good in the kitchen. Hallelujah. Everybody laughed except the women. And they wasn't really like that, but he says, hey, she's going to say, hey, I'll fetch you some water out of this. Let me give you something to drink out of this well right here. I'm not going to warm it up in the microwave. I'm going to fetch it out of the well for you. Hallelujah. And matter of fact, while you're drinking, I'm going to take care of all your camels over here too.
Yeah.
And when Eleazar come and she started doing all that, he said, that's her right there. That is her. She ain't never seen Isaac, the son.
Right.
Eleazar says, hey, who are you? What's your daddy's name? And do they have room for me to stay tonight? Sure, come to my house. It's all in Genesis 24.
Right.
So come to my house. Come to the house. Eleazar says, Mom, Dad, look, my servant Abraham, God the Father, He sent me down here to seek out a bride for His Son. I know she ain't never seen Him before, but this is the one that the Lord has laid on my heart. And I'm pulling, tugging, drawing right here. And I'm asking her to go with me, to go back to my land, my home, and meet the Son. Now, her mama and daddy, look at verse number 55. We'll pick up reading about that. And her brother and mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days at the least 10. 10's a Gentile number. After that, she shall go after 10 days. And he said unto them, Eleazar said unto them, said, "Hinder me not, seeing that the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "Okay, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." They called for Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." Do y'all remember when y'all were sitting in church and the Holy Spirit just walked up there by you and sat down in your lap and said, "Will you go with this man?" Now, this tears the Calvinist up. Because they think they've already got them all picked and everybody's already getting set and yada, yada, all baloney. Holy Spirit asked her, "Will you go?" She said, "I will go. Matter of fact, I want to go."
Right. Yeah.
There was a time and place when I was sitting on a church and the Lord Jesus Christ come by me and said, "Hey, you want to go with me?" I said, "I sure do."
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
You better remember that day where the Holy Spirit came. He found a lost piece of silver in the dirt and He said, "Hey, look what I found."
Yeah. Amen.
Here's the message right here. Gets on the camel. You remember I preached on the camels one time about these camels. Eleazar got a camel with him. Said, "Rebekah, get up on that camel." I'm not talking about a cigarette. I'm talking about a camel, animal camel. Some of you craving one right now. You can smoke one big of a camel. Hallelujah. Some of you like this right now. Eleazar got Rebekah on that camel. Watch, where are they headed? They're headed to go meet the Son.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
400-mile journey. You stay with me.
Yeah.
Rebekah, on that camel. 400 miles. Somebody might have told you after you get saved, everything's going to be a bed of roses. It's still a rough ride. We're headed to meet the Son.
Right.
But it's going to be a little rough along the way. Some days are going to be better than others. Some days the sun's going to be shining. Some days there's going to be rain coming out of the sky and you're going to have to put a rain jacket on. You might get your hair messed up one day. It don't mean you're not saved. That just means it's just a rough journey on the way to see the Son. And you're headed on there, and Eleazar. And watch this. You ain't never met Isaac before. Rebekah, never met. But Eleazar, the Holy Spirit, knows the Son.
Right.
All this trip, Rebekah's saying, "Eleazar, what's he like?
Yeah.
What's he look like?
Amen.
What color is his eyes? What does he like to eat? Pork chops? That's what I thought. You know what you're supposed to be doing along this journey? Is finding out as much about him as possible. You ain't never seen him before. Y'all ain't never seen him. You ask him to save you, but you ain't never seen him. So who do you ask? You ask the Holy Spirit. He knows it. He lives on the inside here. Some of you young people might have them little iPods or them MP3 CPOs or whatever you got to stick in your ear. And all of a sudden you say, Holy Spirit, put tickets in your ear and see if he would like this.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. See if he'd like this.
Yeah.
No. Holy Spirit, he ain't going to like that. I guarantee you he ain't going to like that. You need to get that out of your iPod. He ain't going to like that. I know you ain't never met him before, but I know him, and he don't like that. He likes bluegrass. He likes primitives. Hallelujah. I'm no longer an orphan. And the Holy Spirit said, he likes that. He likes that, Mark. Mark may not like bluegrass, but the Lord likes bluegrass. I said all that to say this. I'm trying to be funny in the way, keep everybody's attention. But you know, you better find out from the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you what He likes and what He don't like. You need to be finding out. This is going to be a long journey. I'm hoping we're on the short end of the 400-mile trip.
Yeah.
And I believe we are. I believe we're almost to the house.
Right.
And I believe we're on the back end of this thing. But I'm hoping and praying, as long as you've been saved, you've been trying to find out as much as possible about this man that you're going to meet one day.
Amen.
That you've never seen before in your whole life. Eliezer, is he like this? Is he like that? What about, is this, Eliezer, you think his dress is too short? You think it is?
Yes.
And Eliezer says, well, if you're having to ask me, it probably is.
Yeah.
Eliezer, does he like makeup? Oh, yeah, he don't mind makeup. He just don't like cake-up. How about that? He don't mind a little makeup. He don't like cake up. What I'm saying is, you need to find out along this journey.
Yes, sir. Right.
What he likes, what he don't like. You say, well, this is my life. I live it like that. No. You have to understand. You were bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You're going to see the Son.
Right.
And you've got to do stuff He likes.
Yeah.
It's not about you anymore.
Right.
Once you said, I will go with this man, you're no longer owned by yourself. You're owned by that man right there.
Right.
That you're going to see. That you've never seen before.
Right.
They're on that journey. Now watch. Let's get on down here. Look here. And let's look at here. Verse 61. Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. The servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. All joking aside, verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening time. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil, covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. I'm telling you, we're right on the verge of the Lord Jesus Christ coming out on the front porch at evening tide.
Right.
And saying, I think I see the camels coming. And we see Him who's altogether lovely.
Yeah.
Who we've been longing to see. The one that we've never seen before. The one that died for us. And when you see Him, you'll have one reaction. And that's to put a veil over your face. I'm not worthy to look upon Him. There's something to that. There's something to it. Look at verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Watch. Sarah dies, or 22, Jesus dies on the cross. 23, Israel is set aside. Sarah dies. 24, comes and gets a bride for the Lord. And remember what I told you? After the rapture, after we meet Him, Israel comes back into play. Remember I told you that? Look at chapter 25, verse 1. Then again, Abraham, picture God the Father, took a wife. Her name was Keturah. Israel comes back on the scene.
Yeah.
After we go to meet Him in there.
Amen.
He said, What's all this mean? What's it got to do with the lost silver and this, that, and the other? Well, I can tell you this. I've tried to compare the two the best I can, but go back to Luke 15 for a minute and let me finish by saying this. Let me go right here to Luke 15. Either verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, 10 is a Gentile number, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it. When she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. I'm finishing up. Have you ever seen the Oriental custom to where a lady that is not married and she's still pure, y'all know what that means? And she's got 10 pieces of silver around her head. It just sets right down on her head like a bracelet, and there's 10 pieces of silver right around her head. Normally, that is given to her when a man has come and made the down payment, the dowry, for this lady. Says, I'm promising you to marry my son when she comes of age. Now, you wear this. It's 10 pieces of silver till we come together and be married. If you go into town and there's one piece of silver missing out of that 10, the whole town knows you've been unfaithful. You've been impure. And when your husband or your the man comes and it's not going to be good. You don't want to be found unfaithful. And so this woman was scourged and doing the best she could trying to find that, because she knows she'd been faithful. And she was trying her best to find it, because she wasn't leaving that house until she found that coin so she could put it back in where it goes. And so she'd go back into town and let everybody know that she's been pure.
Yeah, right. Come on, brother.
And when the Lord comes, He's already paid the down payment for us.
Yeah.
And we're wearing the 10 pieces of silver. But I'm closing. I wonder when the Lord comes, how many pieces of silver is missing because we've been unfaithful to Him? How many pieces of silver do we have missing because we've been unfaithful to Him? When He comes, folks, I want to be found faithful. I want Him to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So you know what I think we ought to do as a church? I'm not trying to get you to, you do whatever you need to do. People pray back there in the seat too. But I'm saying this, whether you're going to stay back there in the seat or whether you come to this altar, we need to be like that woman and search diligently for some of the pieces of silver that we've been unfaithful about. Say, Lord God, forgive me. I'm going to put that back. I want to be found faithful. I want to get that under the blood. I want to be found faithful when you come. That's what I want to be. How about you? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that's made some kind of sense. I pray that we would be found faithful when you come. Lord, help us not to have any missing pieces of silver. Lord, but we would seek diligently where we do it tonight. Lord, in the morning, Lord, seeking the face of God every day of our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, some of us may need to be asking more questions about you, trying to find out a little bit more about you before we meet you. Get real acquainted with you. Paul says that I may know him. The power of His resurrection. Lord, I pray that be our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Won't you stand to your feet? If you need to come pray about something, won't you come? Won't you come? I've decided to follow Jesus. Anybody need to come pray? Anybody need to come pray? I've decided to follow Jesus. How about you today?